Earth Matters, a weekly segment of environmental news.
Our demands may be radical, but the demands of the Earth are truly non-negotiable. Corporations and biology do not mix.
A minimum of 95,000 baby harp seals were bludgeoned, shot, and skinned alive in the Gulf of St. Lawrence in eastern Canada last week. The formerly pristine, exquisitely beautiful ice floes are now a vast, ugly expanse of blood, trash, and mounds of tiny, furless seal pup carcasses. The massacre of seals now moves northeast to the Newfoundland coast, where on April 12th, some 320 boats and thousands of sealers will continue the mass slaughter. The total quota for this year is 319,000 seals, making this the largest marine mammal massacre in the world. The seals are not being killed by Inuit or any group of indigenous peoples. The seal hunt is a commercial slaughter heavily subsidized by the Canadian government. The direct action group, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, is on board their ship, the Farley Mowat, and are heading north to confront the seal hunt in Newfoundland. The Sea Shepherd crew were violently assaulted on the ice floes in the Gulf of the St. Lawrence by angry seal killers last week. 11 were arrested for filming and photographing the killing fields. For daily updates and extensive video footage, you can log on to seashepherd.org and protectseals.org. Many people recognize that global warming is already affecting the Arctic and Antarctic ice caps, glaciers, indigenous peoples, and wildlife in dramatic ways. But most of us living in the Earth's more temperate zones mistakenly believe that we will not experience major climate change for decades. But indigenous people here in North America have a different view. They witness the changes on the land and in the air and water. They worry, and they watch with wonder as the American and other industrial governments plunge forward with bad energy and development policies, apparently heedless of the danger. Cora Max Phillips is a Diné woman of the Navajo Nation who lives near Flagstaff, Arizona. I spoke with her at the recent Public Interest Environmental Law Conference in Eugene, Oregon, about global warming and its unique impacts on indigenous communities.
I'm speaking with Cora Max Phillips of the Navajo Nation. Cora, can you talk about the links between climate change and what's happening with the indigenous communities where you live?
Yes, thank you. We live in Arizona, the Diné people, and we've had some setbacks as far as our spiritual values is concerned. In the Flagstaff area, which is about 75 miles south of where we live, we are currently battling with the Snowball Corporation, who are trying to make artificial snow using reclaimed water. And this has really undermined the efforts of the medicine men who have been making offerings and praying on the mountain for many, many generations since time immemorial. And I think that as the climate changes more and more during the winter season when there is no snow, the efforts of making artificial snow will begin to take a tremendous impact in not only in our community, but in other indigenous communities.
And this water is reclaimed from where?
The water is reclaimed directly from sewage. The affluent water has been reclaimed. And the city of Flagstaff has approved to sell this reclaimed water to the Snowball Corporation. And in working with some professors from the Northern Arizona University who have been doing research on reclaimed water, it shows that there's a lot of endocrine disruptors as well as estrogen and pharmaceuticals that is still left within the reclaimed water. And also talking with the staff who work at the treatment plant, they have also indicated that they are not required to test and clean out the estrogen and the pharmaceuticals, as well as the endocrine disruptors, they're not required by law to be concerned with those things.
So that water is being sprayed on the top of the mountains.
The habitat, the wildlife, the medicinal herbs that are used by the medicine people and any other kind of life force that is on the mountain then will be impacted. The concern is that with a lot of the estrogen and pharmaceuticals and what have you that is left within the reclaimed water, the question then becomes, what does this mean for the future generation and the precious and the natural ecosystem that is on top of the mountain?
Can you talk about why the tops of the mountains are particularly sacred places for your people?
As long as I can remember, I've heard my elders tell me that the mountain is sacred. And having been educated in a modern university setting, I began to take a strong interest in exactly what they meant by being sacred. So I started to make some connections. And what I found out is within the Native American sweat lodge ceremonies, there are negative ions that are generated as the sacred water is given to the rocks. And in the steam that comes out, there's a lot of negative ions. So as a human being begins to breathe in the negative ions, you begin to reach your superconscious state, which is merely your spiritual state in which you make contact and start communicating with your creator. These same negative ions are found on top of the mountains. When you go back into biblical history, you read about Moses who would go on top of Mount Sinai to connect and communicate with God, his father. And so similarly, our medicine people would go on top of the mountains to gather these medicinal herbs as well as to make offerings and to communicate with the creator. We consider it sacred. As the desecration of these sacred sites take place, then the very essence of our being is being tampered with as the Diné people.
I'd like you to talk about the differences between power and spirit.
According to the philosophy and the prophecy of the Native American people, everything from the micro to the macro life force within this universe has a spirit. And currently, that spirit is being undermined. And so we look within this universe, especially within the face of Mother Earth where we live, we have the corporate world out there versus the world of spirituality. We have a segment of people that only understand the language of money and the language of the corporate world. And so when we say that something is sacred, that every life force has a spirit, you know, when we talk the language of spirituality, we do not understand each other's. The power of the corporate world out there has pretty much begun to take over the spiritual aspects of a human being and every life force that is out there. We now live in a society where we have a severe spiritual bankruptcy. And I believe that as time goes on, we will come across the stark realization that there will be a price to pay as we continuously tamper with the spirits of all the life forces that is out there.
Can you talk about how human beings view the world?
Well, within the indigenous world, we have an understanding and a belief that people come first. You know, people fight for their survival every single day. And through the interdependency of the systems that have been put in place for us by the Creator, we connect through the systems and the interdependencies. And so as the interdependencies lose sight of one another, and as certain sites are desecrated or the system is being tampered with, then the place of the human being on Mother Earth, it also begins to lose that balance and harmony that it should have. Everything is centered. Everything revolves around the spirit of Mother Earth, the spirit of the mountains, the spirit of the water, the spirit of the air, and the spirit of the human being and every life force that is out there. That should come first over materialism, over the corporate world, over money. It goes on and on. We do not have to question how many more days we have to live on the face of this earth, because the earth is suffering, and the more we make Mother Earth suffer, then there's that price and penalty to pay.
What's your message to those that don't understand that yet?
The message is that we have to start listening. Because the native people have always lived on a very spiritual plane. They've always had this very strong spiritual alliances with the female and the male life forces out there of Mother Earth and the universe. And then in close collaboration with our Creator, the Great Spirit, we need to go back to nature. How do we get it back into harmony and balance to where it will begin to sustain life effectively again? And we have become energy junkies in this country, in America, to where we have lost sight of the harmony and balance that allows us to live in coexistence with nature. And to begin to start reevaluating ourselves. In doing so, I believe that it will bring about profound changes within each and every one of us, that there are many, many spirits out there, the spirits of Mother Earth, the spirits of the mountain, the spirit of the forests. There is a message in itself, and that we need to begin listening to the message of nature.
Do you have any other comments that you'd like to add to this? Is there anything I didn't ask you that you want to say?
Artificial snowmaking is a very, very unnatural way, and we're deviating from the natural cycle, which in the first place, through mankind's efforts of inducing modern technology, it has really impacted the climate. And now the climate is changing to where sometimes we do not understand it. And the challenge before us is, again, you know, how do we put harmony and balance back into Mother Nature as it was once intended? To do things in an unnatural way, to deviate from the natural cycle, because we only understand the language of money, and because we only understand the language of the corporate world, someday is this going to lead to the downfall of the human race because we choose not to listen?
For more information about ELAW and the hundreds of panelists there, including Cora Phillips, please visit pielc.org on the web. In Berkeley, reporting for Earth Matters on Flashpoints, this is Amanda Bellerby.